Go to Mark chapter 4. And Father, we just speak a blessing over every gift and every giver tonight, Father. Multiply it back unto them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Cause men to give into their bosom, Father. See, God's got a plan for me. He has an assignment for me. He has a course for me. And He wants me to finish my course with joy. Amen. And in Mark chapter 4, we're talking about going the distance and how you can finish your course with joy. When Jesus was on the cross, He made the statement, He said, "It is finished." What did that mean? That means the work that He came to do was done. It was complete. And He even told His disciples, He said, the work that the Father gave me to do, I finished it. I accomplished it. And that's what God wants us to do. And here in Mark chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 14. And He said, "The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. How many know that God intended for His seed to produce? He says that even when His word goes forth, it will not return unto Him void. It will accomplish what it set it out to do. But there was an interruption in the end result of this seed. In three cases, this seed didn't do what it needed to do. It was stopped in its course. All right? It didn't go the distance. So we're going to try something different tonight. And I put together a PowerPoint. And if you could bring up, the going the distance slide there. And we're going to just briefly go through some of these grounds. I know we've covered it, but and then go to the next one, examples of the wayside. All right? Now the wayside is the seed it never got in. It never got in the ground. It never got in the heart. It never penetrated. And how many know that when a seed is just laying on the ground, it's not going to do what it was designed to do? It will not go the distance, okay? And here are some examples of some wayside hearers. They are indifferent. They are hard hearers, okay? It never touches, it never gets into their heart, all right? And here's some scriptures here, Matthew 21, 1 to 14. There was no response. We're not going to look at all these. I just want to go through these quickly because there's a place that I want to go tonight. James 1, 22 through 27, a forgetful hearer. You know, you hear the word, but as soon as you leave this place, you forget what you heard. All right, it never got into your heart. It never got into your life. If it doesn't get into your heart, it's not going to change you. You know, you could sleep with a Bible on you, but that's not going to cause God's word to get in you. I used to say it never, you know, God's word doesn't come to us through osmosis. You know, osmosis is when a cell, can get close to water, it'll like soak up that water. It'll kind of just get it because of the closeness of it. But that's not how it works. Okay? In 2 Timothy 4:4, it talks about a group of people that actually turn away from the truth. They were following God, but then they stopped following. They stopped doing what they were supposed to do. They stopped doing the basics. And, you know, when you stop doing what you're supposed to do, you're on a path that's going to become harder and harder. All right? And Proverbs 28:14, it says, a hard heart falls into calamity. All right? So there's some other scriptures there about hardness. And we're going to go on to the next ground, the stony ground. You know, they hear it. They get a little bit of it, but they don't last. All right? Ezekiel 33 through 31 and 32, it says, they hear, but they don't practice. They're out for greedy gain. They allow other things to come in. You ever heard of a guy named Achan? Achan was part of Israel. And when they went into Jericho, God told them, don't take any of the gold, any of the silver, any of the metal from Jericho. It's all going to go into the treasury. Basically, Jericho was a tithe of the promised land. It was the first fruit. And Achan, he was greedy and he coveted. What did he do? He took some gold. He took a hunk of gold and a hunk of silver and some garments, and he hid them. Now, a lot of people, they take things and they hide things in their life. And they don't think that it's hurting anybody. But let me tell you something. What Achan did affected the whole camp of Israel. Because when they went out to battle, the next enemy that they fought was Ai, and they lost. And Joshua didn't know why they lost. And when he inquired of the Lord, God told him it was Achan. And they brought him before us, and he confessed, and he lost his family and all the stuff. Everything got burned, right? And I think the earth that swallowed him up? I can't remember, but stony ground. You know, if you have a choice as to whether or not you're going to get offended. You know, because the Bible often talks about taking offense. You know, when you take offense, Matthew 11:6 warns us, don't take offense. Why? Because it's going to allow these other things that come from the stony ground to come in. And when those things come in, it's going to choke the word. All right? People who are unable to go deeper in John 6. Ephesians 4, when you don't have a deep conviction. How many know the bigger the tree, the deeper the roots, right? All right, let's go to the next group, among thorns. All right? This was interesting. Just turn to Jeremiah for a second. I want you to see this here in Jeremiah. I found it to be absolutely fascinating. And in Jeremiah 4:3, it says this, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Did you know that thorns came to this earth as a result of the curse? And what's a thorn? A thorn are the cares of the world, lust for other things, you know, deceitfulness of riches. When we allow those things to take our focus off God, to pull us away from what God wants us to have, all right? You know the story of the rich fool? You know, he had all these barns of stuff, and he said, I got to tear all these barns down, and I got to build bigger barns. But what happened was, in the process of building bigger barns, the Bible says his soul was required of him. He was so focused on the material side, all right? Rich young ruler, He had an opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus. But what happened? He loved his stuff more than he loved God. He had a stony heart. And who knows what that rich young ruler could have done. But thank God, you know, Jesus bore the curse. He wore a crown of thorns. So he broke the curse. And when you put your trust in Jesus, he's got thorn killer. Spiritual thorn killer. All right? And, you know, you got to rid yourself of anxiety. You realize, you know, the more stuff you have, the more cares and concerns you have? Now, God's not opposed to you having stuff by any means. I mean, Abraham had a company of over 300 employees, and he did pretty well. All right? The next thing, this is just some more about thorns, among thorns. Next slide. Okay? You know, you have to cast your cares. Yes, the cares of the world. We live in a world, don't we? And there's cares in this world, isn't it? But you got to decide when the cares are starting to get bigger than you. And you got to make a decision. You got to turn your cares over to Him. Because guess what? We're limited in how we can deal with it, but God's not. Cast your cares to Him. Why? Because He cares for you. In other words, God's saying, you weren't designed to carry that. Why don't you just give it to me? That takes faith. And then you got to trust God to work it out. So you're actually turning things over to God. You're loosing control. All right? 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul talked about a man named Demas. And what he said about Demas was he forsook Paul because he loved the world more. Apparently, he was working with Paul, he was helping Paul, but Demas got to a point where he loved the world more, so he left Paul. You can read it, because I want to get somewhere tonight. All right, and there's just some other scriptures about thorns. All right, go to the next one. This is where we want to be. Good ground. What does good ground do? Good ground receives the seed, it hears, it accepts, and it produces. Now, you could be good ground, and we all have different levels. Some produce 30, some produce 60, but then some produce 100-fold, all right? But the point is, with good ground, you're progressing, you're increasing, you're gaining, all right? And these are, God is glorified when you're fruitful. You know, the best way to please God is to be fruitful. Listen, God is a master gardener. Look at the world he created. And, you know, Luke 19, okay. Now, we want to get to these points right here, okay? These are things that will hinder you from going the distance. Why are we talking about things that hinder us? Because we have to be able to recognize them. We have to recognize the things that will stop us, that will prevent us from reaching our destiny or achieving our goal. And when we recognize them, we can stop them from operating in our life. Okay? Number one, Satan steals. When does he steal? Whenever he can. In our text that we read, when does he steal? When the word is sown, Satan is on your case trying to take it from you. He does not want that word to get inside you. Because he knows if that word gets inside you, it's trouble for him. Okay? Now here are some things that Satan does to steal from you. We know in the account of Job, he's the accuser, right? God said, look at my servant Job. And Satan said, oh, he just loves you because of all the stuff you do for him. Why don't you take your stuff away and he'll curse you? Well, God is not a thief. Who took Job's stuff away? Satan. And then people say, well, God allowed it. Well, we're not going to get into all that tonight, but Satan already had the open door. What was his open door? It was fear. Why did Job do the sacrifices for his kids? Because he feared that they might do something wrong. You can't live your life out of fear. If you live your life out of fear, you are giving Satan permission to come in and steal from you. Okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And once again, I'm not going to go over all these just because of time, but I really want you to see some things here, okay? Look at verse 3. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do? They had a piece of land, all right? And they had a sale on that land. See, what was happening in the church was people who had extra houses. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra house? These people had houses, they had lands, and they were selling them, okay? And a lot of the people in the church, they were bringing in the wholesale amount and giving it to the church. Now, some people get nervous about giving a 10% tithe. This was beyond 10%, okay? This was 100%, all right? And so Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they had this land, and they kept back a part of it, but they made it look like they gave the whole amount. So they were deceptive. Now look at verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has who? Filled your heart to who? To what? To who? Who influenced Ananias to lie? He's the father of lies, okay? And what he tries to do is, he tries to get you to lie. He tries to get you to not tell the truth. But if you do, then you're allowing him to come in and steal from your life. What happened? Ananias and Sapphira both lost their life. Satan actually stole it. Satan was the one who influenced them to lie. And how many know that you don't lie to God? Because God knows. You might as well just be open and honest with God because he already knows. Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11. Notice what it says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What happens if you are ignorant of his devices? Then he can get an advantage over you. So God doesn't want you to be ignorant. So God exposed exactly what the enemy does. He's a schemer. He has plans to steal, kill, and destroy just as much as God has plans to prosper you. And Satan is always scheming, but we have an advantage over him. The Holy Ghost, he reveals the schemes of the enemy. Do you remember the story of Nehemiah? When Sanballat sent a letter to Nehemiah and he wanted him to go to the temple by himself, it was a plot to kill him. But Nehemiah said, I'm not going there. See, God helped him to get advantage over Satan and not have Satan get advantage over him. So you got to know that Satan is a schemer, but ignorance gives place to the devil. God's people perish for what? A lack of knowledge. All right? Here are some other things. We're not going to go into them, but 2 Corinthians 4, he blinds the minds of them that believe not. So when you're dealing with a believer, it could very well be that their mind is blinded to the truth. So what do you have to do? What can you do with blindness? What did Jesus do with blindness? He what? He healed it. You can pray that their eyes be opened, because God is the light of the world, right? Satan is darkness, but God is light. So when you encounter someone who's blinded, and you know what? We can even be blinded in an area. You know, maybe we're not getting where we need to go because we're not seeing something. Something is blocking our vision. And notice, blindness is associated with unbelief. Those that believe not, they're blind. They need to have their eyes opened. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9. He's a counterfeiter. He's a deceiver. His angels can appear like angels of light. How did the Mormon church start? It started with an appearance of an angel named Moroni. Who do you think influenced that? That was Satan. There's groups and groups of people that have been led astray because they saw an angel. You know, we're supposed to test the spirits. Paul said, if me or an angel or someone else preaches another gospel, we should know what the true gospel is. All right? And then, of course, 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says that he devours. Your enemy walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? May. Why did he put that word may in there? You ever play the game Mother May I? And you would stand in the line and someone would be the mother and you'd have to say, Mother, may I take a giant step? And you couldn't move unless they gave you permission. How does Satan get involved in our life? He cannot force his way in, but he tries to get us to give him permission. That's what temptation is all about. But thank God that God gives a way out of everything. All right? So these are just some things that Satan does. But if Satan is stealing from your life, you will not go the distance. If Satan is stealing from you, your race is going to be hindered. So we don't want to let Satan steal. If you find out where, you know, when a house is broken into, they look for ways where the thief came in, right? And what they do is they strengthen that or they reinforce that. So if you find an area in your life where Satan has gotten an entrance and you want to shut the door, you know, there was a song that they used to sing in Guyana, shut the door, keep out the devil, shut the door, keep the devil in the night. You know, but shut the door, keep out the devil, shut the door, keep, you know, how they do that. You got to have that good Caribbean beat, you know. And who did Jesus give authority to over the devil? Do you know God's not going to do anything else about the devil? The apostles never prayed, God, why don't you cast out that devil? God gave them the power to do it. He gave them the authority to do it. So you've got the authority to prevent Satan from stealing. Go to the next slide. No roots in yourself. This is another hindrance that will cut your race short. When you have no root in yourself. Go to John chapter 12. Let's look at this one. This is another interesting thing. John 12. What does it mean to have no root in yourself? It means to not have any intestinal fortitude. It means that you compromise easily. Or when things are going wrong that shouldn't, you do nothing. How many know when things are going wrong and you do nothing, it's like you're agreeing with what's going on, right? John chapter 12, verse 35, Bible says that, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness comes upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. And while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spoke Jesus and departed, but did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Isn't that interesting? That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he that blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart, and he can and be converted, and I should heal them. These things Isaiah spoke, or when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, notice verse 42. Among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Isn't that a good thing? But notice what happened. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Those are people that have no root. You believe, but you're not willing to act on your belief. If you believe in God, then your belief ought to propel you to action. Do you realize that simply speaking God's word could be the action that you need to make? If you believe it, then you should speak it. Or you should act it out. That's what it means. People with root, they act on God's word. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. When you hear God's voice, you have a choice. What do you think will harden a heart when you hear God's voice? What do you think will cause your heart to be hardened when God speaks? When you're disobedient. Or when you act like you know what God is saying. Oh yeah, I know that. Well, if you know it, then why is God saying it to you? You could see there's a difference between knowing it and doing it. James said, don't just hear the word, but what? Do it. Because you're blessed in what you do. You could hear 100 messages on prosperity, but if you never do what the Bible says to do relating to that, you'll never prosper God's way. Now, there's all kinds of people in the world that quote-unquote prosper. But you know what? If they've gained the whole world and lose their soul, did they really prosper? No. Okay? So, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me. Notice they tempted God. Proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Can you imagine God being grieved with a generation? They do always err in their heart. See, only God would know that, because only he knows the heart. They have not known my ways. Can you imagine someone sitting in a church for 40 years and not know God's ways? I bet you could find a lot of people in the United States that would fit that. They were part of a church, maybe because their family was part of it. But they've been in church, but they don't know God's ways. Why? Because they hardened their hearts. They stopped. They cut their race short. So I swore in my wrath, verse 11, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is evil. In departing from the living God. When you unbelieve, you're actually departing from the living God. And notice he says, verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's why we should come together as often as we can. You know, the early church, they met every day. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Say, I'm not a quitter. If you want to go the distance, you got to refuse to quit. I don't care what kind of a hard day or a hard week you had. Don't quit. When things happen, it's not the time to quit. It's the time to rise up and let faith arise. You know, like Brother Hagin, he said regarding sickness, once he got healed from his deathbed, you know, he spent 18 months in bed, semi-paralyzed. It would take him a day just to turn a page in the Bible. His blood was orange. But one day, he kept pressing in, and he got totally healed. And then he spent several years walking in health, and he said, I passed up marvelous opportunities to be sick. You know, unbelief hinders. When someone, they're operating in unbelief, it's preventing them from receiving what God wants them to have. You know, why can't we just believe God? Why can't we just trust God? We can. But when we allow this, it's not having root in ourselves. A tree that has no roots, you can push it over. You don't want to be a pushover. Listen, you want to push the devil over. You don't want him to push you over. Second Kings described these people as having stiff necks. Go to the next slide. The next thing that will hinder you from going the distance is tribulation. What's tribulation? It's trouble. Say, here comes trouble. You know what? When trouble comes, God's got a solution. He'll give you double for your trouble. Just ask Job. Look at Job. He lost everything, but at the end, God gave him more, twice as much than what he lost. Romans 5:3. What should you do in trouble? You should rejoice. But that doesn't make sense, Pastor. Why should I rejoice? Because God made it possible for you to rejoice in trouble. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Did Joseph face trouble? His brothers were jealous. So they were going to kill him, but Reuben said, no, don't kill him. So then they sold their brother as a slave. And they lied to the father and said he was dead by a wild animal. They had to spill blood on his coat to make their story true. You know, the Bible talks about enduring hardship as a good soldier. Soldiers have to face hardship. The soldiers that are currently deployed in our armed forces, they leave their families for 6 months to a year at a time. Good friend of mine who was a helicopter pilot, well, we're friends with his wife, but he served a tour of duty, then came home, got married, then served another tour of duty, then came home and saw the birth of his child. He served two tours of duty. Hardship. But through Christ, we can endure hardship. See, God gives you strength to go through what's hard. It seems hard because we're trying to do it on our own, but when we do it trusting God, he'll see us through. Listen, God wants to make sure that you have a testimony from your test. If there was never, if we never faced trouble, how would we know our faith works? I mean, Jesus, who was perfect, who sinned, he did not sin. What did they? They mocked him. They criticized him. There was countless times that they tried to kill him. His first sermon didn't go over so well. They wanted to throw him over a cliff. But what did he do? He just kept doing the will of God. He would go to the next town. No matter what he faced, he would walk away from trouble. He would do the will of God. He would do the will of God. He would, you know what? He lived victoriously. He overcame trouble. Jesus himself said, in the world, there's going to be trouble. But he didn't finish there, thank God. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, if you stick by me, I'll teach you how to overcome. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. You know, we have to be perseverant. That's what made the difference in the Syrophoenician woman. She didn't get an answer. She was told she was of the wrong race. She was told that, you know, she was called a dog. But what? She kept persevering. She kept hanging in there. She refused to quit. What happened? She went from 0 to 60 faith in 6 seconds. You know, I'm just using that as a paraphrase, but she went from, you know, she hung in there. She showed her faith by hanging in. And guess what? Her daughter got healed. But she had to overcome some obstacles. You know, we're running a marathon, but there are obstacles in the way that you have to jump over. Okay, the next thing that'll hinder you is the persecution for the word. Have you ever been told, oh, you go to that church? Or, you actually believe that speaking in tongues is of God? You know, people will make fun of you. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You know, God was fully aware of how the world would react. Notice what he said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't be shocked if the world hates you. Don't be surprised. Young people, don't be surprised if the world makes fun of you for being a Christian. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Did you know that you passed from death to life? So then it doesn't matter what the world says. As long as you know that you've passed from death to life, how do you know? Because it was written. Because the Holy Spirit's in my heart. Because God's living in me. So yes, the world is going to persecute you. But you know, persecution spread the gospel. They were all conjured, they were all together in one place. And persecution came and it spread the gospel to the whole world. So, you know, Jesus was persecuted. So you're going to be persecuted. Commit to do good. You know, Galatians says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. What happens if you faint? Then you don't reap. He said, faint not. Okay? You got time for a few more? All right, let's go to worldly cares. This is number 5, fifth thing that will hinder you from going the distance. Go to Luke 10:41. Luke 10:41. I want you to notice what Jesus said to Martha. Okay? Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful or concerned about and troubled about what? Say many things. She was concerned and troubled about many things. How am I going to pay this bill? What am I going to do about my future? How am I going to send my child to college? How am I going to put food on the table? What am I going to do if my car breaks down? What am I going to do when the coffee maker doesn't work? Don't be worried or troubled or concerned about many things. What's the one thing you need to focus on? The kingdom of God. When you put the kingdom of God first, God will make sure that everything else works out. So what position should the kingdom of God have in your life? First, you know, a lot of times people are faced with the bill or their tithe. And a lot of times they put the bill first. And they pay that, which is fine. But you know what you just did? You've disconnected yourself from the covenant. And you have taken it upon yourself now to be your own provider. Here's where the rich fool was who built all the barns. Luke 12. Go to Luke 12, 29. Luke 12, 29. I feel like I'm in a class tonight. And this is the first time that God led me to do a PowerPoint, so I hope it works well for you. Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful or worrying mind. Is that a suggestion? That's a command, isn't it? For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Say, my Father knows. But rather, seek the kingdom of God. See, when you seek the kingdom of God, you're allowing God to work on your behalf. Okay? Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things, what? Shall be added to you. Now, what if you don't do, what if you have your order mixed up? If God is not first, let's say he's second or third, will the things be added to you? No, they won't. At least God won't add them to you. And if we add them to ourselves, we're going to add sorrow upon sorrow. But the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. It'll truly be a blessing. Then this is one of my favorite verses. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to what? Give you the kingdom. See, when you're focused on the kingdom, God will give it to you. But when you're focused on yourself, you don't get the kingdom. Go to Luke 21:34. And I'll be getting ready to close here in just a minute. Luke 21:34. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That word is dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unaware. For a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So your cares can become snares. And when it's a snare, is a trap. You know, they make traps for bears. And when a bear gets into that trap, can he get away easily? No. If he gets away, he's probably going to lose a foot or something. They're sharp claws, and when you hit them, they snap and they hold you into position. You can't move. Don't be caught in that snare. How do you avoid that snare? Don't care. If you don't care, you won't fall into the snare. And you'll keep your hair. And you know the story when Jesus said he was inviting people to the wedding feast, and they said, well, I can't come, I got to go bury the dead, or I can't come because I, listen, excuses are useless. If God is telling you to do something and you're giving him excuses as to why you can't, that's not going to go over big with God. It didn't with Moses. The more excuses that Moses gave to God as telling him why he couldn't do what he was telling him to do, God got angry. So your excuses for not doing what you're supposed to be doing are useless. Okay? And let's look at this. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:10. And then I'm going to close with this. And I'll finish the next two next week. 2 Timothy 4:10. This is a great example of what not to do. Says this, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. So why did he forsake him? Because of his love for the world, or love for worldly things. Okay. Yeah. You know, I've had people, I've had one person tell me they couldn't come to church because they were waiting for the cable person to come and set their TV up. But they're not at this church anymore. I mean, they're somewhere else. You know, it's the little things that we do that make a big difference in our life. And but, you know, God's got a course for every one of us. And he wants you to finish that course with joy. Serving God is a joy. It's not a burden. Because Jesus himself said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If your burden is heavy, then you better check. Maybe you've taken on too much. Because Jesus said, my burden is light. So if it's heavy, then something, you're doing more than what he's asked you to do. All right? And your path is a path of light. Proverbs 4 says, and as you go along this path, your path should get brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. And the further we get away from God, it gets darker and darker. Okay? But you can finish your course with joy. You can go the distance. You can do what God's called you to do. He has equipped you. He will help you. He'll lead and guide you. You know, but he will not compromise his truth. And everybody has a choice. You know, we all choose as to what path we're going to go on. So let's stand up. And let's just make a commitment to God that we're going to pay attention to these things so that when we see them trying to operate in our life, we're going to prevent them. We're going to stop them, okay? You don't agree with wickedness, all right? When wickedness is trying to operate, we don't agree with it. We speak the truth in love, right? We resist Satan steadfast in the faith. Say this, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you have strengthened me to resist Satan steadfast in the faith. I resist Satan. I resist evil work. And I resist evil words. I will stand for what's right. I will do the will of God. I will finish my course with joy. Nothing is going to stop me. Nothing is going to deter me because I'm looking to Jesus. He's my champion. He's my victor. And I'm going to follow his path. And I'm going to gain the victory too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Has that helped you tonight? I want you to make aware of some things that will hinder you. And you'll see people. You'll watch people fall into these things. You'll see them. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's a slow turning away. You know, our world is getting darker, but the gospel is getting brighter. Amen? And your best days can be ahead of you. Forget what is behind. Forget the mistakes. Forget the shortcomings. And press toward the mark. Amen? Put yourself in an olive press and let God squeeze you. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God squeeze you. Let God shape you. Press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press towards the goal. Run to win. Don't give up. Hang in there, and God will bless you. And sometimes you got to fight, but remember, you have a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And when fighting, don't get involved in a battle that doesn't have a reward. When David fought Goliath, he understood what the reward was going to be. So he decided this was a good reward worth fighting for. Amen? So God bless you. Hope you're refreshed tonight.